The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, is Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello, I have a question.
For who?
All of you.
Oh.
What's our score have to be to get it?
No. My husband brought home a big container of fresh apple cider. But I don't really like the taste of it.
Wait a couple months. You won't care.
Well, actually, in connection with that, Dave, is there some sort of alcoholic beverage you can add to apple cider?
Any alcoholic beverage?
Yes.
No. I mean, like, if you were to, like, put it over the stove or...
Maker's Mark rum.
Rum. Okay.
Maker's Mark rum. Rum?
I never heard of Maker's Mark.
Oh, no. Is it rum? No.
Bourbon.
Rum or bourbon?
Well, either one, but bourbon, I think, would be a heavier flavor and a better one.
But not at the same time.
But also put spices in it.
Yeah. So like a mulled cider.
Oh, absolutely.
Like cinnamon.
Put cinnamon and nutmeg and
clove.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cinnamon and clove at least.
All right. Well, thank you. This is also a recipe show.
I was actually a little afraid with where you were going there because... It's always a good time to remind people that there's a number of cider mills in the area that actually don't pasteurize their cider. And when you said that it didn't taste good...
Oh, no.
And the next thing is that my husband was dead to the world.
No. I just don't really like it.
I love
cider. Cider's good. Cider's delicious.
Well,
I especially love hard cider.
Well, wait a month.
There you go. Anyway, thank you.
Sure. It is a recipe show now. Everybody has to bring fruit snacks or muffins or one recipe idea to
every
show.
Or pork buns. Sure.
Or Maker's Mark.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Well, that
just
would be pass a fun
the
show.
Bottle.
As the Professor just became a salon. And I have no problem with it. To your right, Heather, it's Dean Mark Denham of the College of Liberal Arts and Education. We're glad to have you here.
And it's my pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Dean's perspective, you know, just how does it feel when we get into the term?
I hate to say this out loud, but it doesn't matter whether students are around or not.
Got it.
My job's pretty much the same no matter what.
Okay.
So I like to see the students around.
Sure.
But they don't really get in the way.
Of some of the things you have to
do. Most of the time, yeah.
A dean's work is never done.
Is never done. No question about it. Across the table, Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies.
Howdy.
Howdy doing.
Good to see you this afternoon.
Pretty good to see you too, Jim. I'm trying to think. I've seen you so many times this week.
Well.
I think I know everything that's going on. So
how
about them Tigers?
How about the Tigers?
Oh, they really have broke my heart this season. Really broke my heart.
Hey, you could be a Red Sox fan.
You enjoy your Rick Porcello.
That's right.
I forgot.
I need to taunt more about that.
Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
So how does week two feel?
Feels like week 15 in a way, but it's just one huge blur. It's kind of like what Mark was saying. It's like, no difference. You know, the only thing is my first few weeks, especially my Friday class, is real silent because they're just drawing away. It's like a Nike sweatshop right about now. That's they're just
that's
nose
a
down.
Wonderful image for academics.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Absolutely.
They are sweating away for the first 3 hours. I'm like, will somebody breathe in here? I want to hear at least a heartbeat or something.
Now, what are you doing during all that? Are you walking around looking at them?
I'm making fun of them. I'm throwing things at them. I'm asking hypothetical questions and things like that.
Okay. Maker's Mark.
That's very helpful.
That too. Yeah.
Hypothetical questions like...
Who would play you in the Hollywood story? So I get the kids thinking about who would play them in the Hollywood story.
Pretty cool. Finally, but certainly not least, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies.
And if someone were playing me, I would have to go with Denzel Washington.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question.
Dom DeLuise.
The build, the body build, it's spot on.
Spot on. Earl Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
Denzel
folks.
Has all your moves, Jason.
Or maybe it was.
That's where they went.
Them.
Yeah, maybe
that's where my moves went.
He stole them.
To give them back.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we left our heroes, we had a wonderful set of questions from Ken Israel, a newer listener from Ames, Iowa. And he was giving us actors, rock bands, places, and sports teams. We were just getting into the rock bands, where they were originally known by some name and better known as now a different name. We had done Tom and Jerry, was actually the first name of Simon and Garfunkel. I had just mentioned the Screaming Abdabs, which you know better as what?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd is correct.
Really? No way.
No.
Jason.
You're brilliant.
High five.
Toward Pink Floyd. I thought it was going to be a punk band. Are you
gonna,
serious? Pink
I was
Floyd
say,
is true?
Fist yeah, bump for Jason.
Yeah.
Wicked Lester is known better as what?
Alice Cooper.
You're in the wheelhouse, especially when you start thinking about Detroit,
Iggy
Rock
Pop?
City.
Oh, Kiss.
Yes, it's Kiss.
All right, Detroit, yes. Rock City. Yes. There we go.
Oh. Yes.
I knew they had a previous name, but I couldn't remember what it was. What was it called again?
Wicked Lester.
Wicked Lester.
Sure. We've actually already mentioned a couple times here at the table today the band previously known as the High Numbers. I think that's a good name, by the way. Where are our mathematicians when we need them? The High Numbers.
And we've already mentioned this band
mentioned
several
them.
Times.
Just a couple times, yeah.
On this show. We just started this show.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Today?
Pink Floyd?
Nope.
No. Again?
Nope. The High Numbers.
The Who.
Yes, it's the
Who.
Oh,
there you
all
go.
Right. All I had left was
there
to go,
you go.
And maybe if you think about it a little longer.
First base.
We'll do the old CSI thing. How about Smile? I can tell you that the band formerly known as Smile continued on with a one-word band name.
Hall & Oates?
Like Devo?
Not Devo.
Devo.
I don't know.
Sticks.
Smile.
Nope, but you're... I could give it away very, very easily.
Where might we hear their music? Classic rock station?
Classic rock station, absolutely. Absolutely.
Smile.
They
Boston?
Saw a little silhouette of a man.
Queen.
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 Yes.
They were Smile?
Smile.
I think Grin would have been better.
Yeah. It's true.
Oh, we all miss Freddie Mercury.
Yes. I figured if I mentioned Freddie
Mercury. How old would he have been? I think it was like 69 or 70 last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Wow. Obelisk is better known as something from my generation.
Black Sabbath.
Urkel?
No.
Oh, no. Steve Urkel again?
Obelisk.
Obelisk.
Is this pop rock? What
well,
would you describe
when I used to go to the record store.
Oh, my.
You go where?
For a while there wasn't just a rock section, right? There was actually what was called New Wave or Alternative.
Ooh. Okay.
And this was a... stalwart of that area.
We always knew
Duran Duran, Human League, Depeche Mode.
How about, well, you're certainly in the wheelhouse. What if I said Robert the Smith?
The Cure.
The Cure, yes. Now it's just all rock. You're welcome, by the way. Generation X says you're welcome.
Mm. Yeah.
How about North American Cities? I got the original name when it was first founded, and now it is better known as.
Okay.
Ooh, my. It's going to be a little bit difficult to... Yeah. To pronounce this, Fort Ruille, R-O-U-I-L-L-E.
Montreal, New Orleans, St. Clair Shores.
No.
Quebec City.
Dubuque.
I think you were right on the northern side of the border.
Toronto?
Toronto.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay,
it's Toronto. Fort Ruille.
So these are just in North America, not necessarily the U.S.
Yeah, that's actually true. That's actually true. Yep. How about Fort Dearborn?
Dearborn?
Incorrect.
Darn.
They ended up going, Fort Dearborn would have been named after, for lack of a better description, a white dude. And they actually went with the local native name, which was naming the city after a small onion that was found in the area.
Milwaukee.
Close. Very close.
Vidalia.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Vidalia. No, these are little onions. These are little red onions.
Little red onions.
Yep.
Shallots.
I could give it away by saying the onions were known as Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Chicago. Oh. Yes.
Spring onions.
Spring onions. You know, well, I was just thinking the other day that the president actually tweeted out, as in President Obama, that we're no longer allowed to use Mount McKinley on any American maps or anything. I mean, that's the way they've been going for a long time. The natives called it Denali, and that's what we should call it, that sort of thing.
And I noticed that while much of the, Republican self-important people decried that as something horrible, both senators from Alaska thought it was a great idea.
Thought it was a great idea. Well, they've been working on
no
it.
No one
decades.
In Alaska calls it anything else.
Is Denali a kind of car?
It is GMC.
It is also,
yeah, GMC Denali.
Big SUV.
Yep.
Which came first?
The mountain.
Yes. Oh, okay. And the name of the mountain.
The chicken.
How about Fort Nashboro?
Nashville?
Nashville. Yeah, you didn't have to think too hard about that one. We're done with the forts, at least for the moment. You can't go to this place where I used to live without hearing the story about why this city is no longer known as Pig's Eye.
Urbana?
No, but good catch.
Champagne.
It was where I went after that.
Oh. Mayo, Michigan?
No. No. Pig's For the eye? Record, Pig's Eye is neither a eye nor a pig. It was actually a gentleman who ran a tavern. He was Pig's Eye, and he ran the best bar in town, so they said, let's name this place Pig's Eye. And then perhaps some Catholics got involved.
St. Clair Shores?
No.
St. Louis?
Nope.
St. Paul?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Used to be Pig's Eye.
I wonder, did Hell, Michigan have an original name?
You know, I actually
have
Heaven,
Michigan at one point?
A colleague who's German, and I think that that's one of the weird ones because it says Hell. There's no question. I've been there before. It's not even really a city. It's really, really close to Pinckney. But it was more like mid-sentence, like a syllable that was being uttered. And everybody's like, ha, 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 Hell. And then it just stuck, you know? So anyway, my German friend tells me it's like calling a town the or something like that. I'm like, all right, it's kind of weird. They put it up for sale last summer. Did you see that?
Put Hell
up for sale?
You could
have bought Hell.
You could have purchased Hell.
$10,000 or something.
No way.
It's a bargain for that.
Yeah, yep. I was going to say.
Kidding.
Well, I like the way Novi got its name. I mean, being a rail stop number 6 in Roman numerals became Novi.
Oh, that's so great. I love that story, too. How about Yerba Buena?
Urbana?
Frankly, that sounds a little bit more native than what it ended up being.
Yerba Linda?
Another saint name.
Oh. I'm not going to go St. Clair Shores.
Again. Out
say
west.
It again?
Out west. Yerba Buena. So it's good something.
Good.
Buena Vista, California?
No.
Good city?
But you're in the right state.
L.A.? San Francisco?
San Francisco, yep. Mm. St. Francis. Last but certainly not least, I think we're going in the Canadian direction again with Pile of Bones.
Pile of Bones.
Saskatchewan.
It's not Saskatchewan.
Winnipeg.
Nope. I'm pretty sure this is a capital of a province.
Alberta.
Nope.
What, Edmonton?
Victoria.
I hope I don't get this wrong.
Winnipeg, Toronto, what else?
How many?
Ottawa, I mean, what else?
I don't know, I don't.
Oh, man.
Halifax.
Maritimes?
Messing this up.
Halifax is a good one.
It's the female form of the Latin root for royalty or queen.
Quebec? Regina.
Regina is what it is. Is it Regina?
Oh, Regina. Saskatchewan, right?
Oh, it's really Regina.
Yeah, Regina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. And while we think about pronunciations, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor on location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. Oh, that's right. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
That's right.
Step right up, get your degree.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Anything your heart desires, academically.
Well, you can win it at games, too.
And you can do that. You can do that. We're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
You can win so many student credit hours and quality points in there. It's unbelievable.
Are these life experience credits?
Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up, spin the wheel, come out with 32 hours in religious studies. Here you are.
And we are back with some fantastic questions from Ken Israel of Ames, Iowa. We're going into the final phase, the final countdown, if you will. Sports teams, they were earlier known as this, but we call them this now.
Okay.
Oh, wow, this team went through a lot of different hats and maybe even a lot of different logos. They were the Doves They were the bees. They were the Red Caps. Were the Bean Eaters. And then they
Red
became
the Red Sox.
Not the Red Sox.
Oh.
Although that makes perfect
sense.
The Boston
Braves?
Actually, it was the Atlanta Braves, so I'm giving you
So probably went from Red Caps to Red Stockings. Was there,
well,
there
we
was
have
a different
two,
team. There
we
were
have two teams, that have Red Sox as part of their name, so yeah, yeah. Red Leggings.
As
the
Red
Stockings.
Yeah.
They started as the Superbas, then the Robins, then
Cardinals.
The Bridegrooms.
The Bridegrooms!
Okay. The franchise was formerly in one place and then moved to another and became.
What was the last one?
The Bridegroom.
This is a baseball franchise.
This
you
is
can't
a, actually
tell us.
There's a follow up question that's not okay. here that I'll ask you guys to see all if right. you know the answer to this too, since I'm such a baseball fan.
But Baltimore Orioles.
The Superbas, the Robins became the Bridegrooms, became the something somethings, and then they picked up shop and moved halfway across the country, and we now know them as
Kansas City. Royals. Mm-mm. Can't be the Oakland Athletics.
I mean, I can give it
they
away
were the
pretty
Philadelphia
easily.
Athletics.
They were the franchise that used to also be in Brooklyn.
Oh, the Dodgers?
Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Wow. So now, the how
Brooklyn
did they get the name the Dodgers?
Oh, the trolley cars.
Yep, because the kids would dart in and out between the cars, and they called them the Dodgers.
I can only imagine the type treatment for the Bridegrooms.
Yeah.
It's like
it won't even fit on the jerseys.
So yeah, you have lace on your
the
stirrups.
The Bridegrooms were left at the altar this afternoon.
Oh, my word.
Is that where they got the Dodgers? They were just trying to run out?
Yeah, oh, true. Cold feet, yeah. How about the Colt 45s? They became what?
Oh, Houston.
Houston, yeah, the Astros.
Yep.
I love that
very
logo.
Well done. How about the Perfectos? We're not trying to overreach here, are we? We wanted to call our team the Perfectos.
Like the Harlem Globetrotters or something like
no,
that?
No, it's actually a baseball team.
Yankees,
San Diego Padres?
The Yankees.
Nope.
They still think they're the Perfectos.
No, no.
Spoken like a Boston fan.
No, although I will tell you, it probably gives a little bit away if you look at the map. Almost everybody, amazingly, when I went to graduate school at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, was a fan of this team.
White Sox?
Nope.
The Cardinals?
The Cards.
Oh,
the Cards.
Okay.
Because they were really, really good those years.
Well, they do kind of think of themselves as perfectos still.
Yeah, they still do.
They somehow managed to come out of nowhere to get in the playoffs
and
every
win
year.
Every year.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The original name of this franchise was the Wolverines.
The Detroit Tigers.
The Tigers, yes, absolutely. And you should know this one, too, aligned with that kind of thinking. The Portsmouth Spartans.
The Lions.
Became the Lions.
Yes.
Last, but certainly not least, the Decatur Staleys.
Decatur. Man,
back in the day when you just take someone's last name, it was the Bears, and just make it the team. We obviously still have one of those, the Cleveland Browns, but it'd be like the Decatur Tubbses, you know?
Perish the thought.
I'd love the logo on that one.
Those were great questions, Ken. We really appreciate it. Those were awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ken.
Got to think about everything from Kiss to the Tigers.
To Jim Tubbs.
Everything in between. Everything in between. Here's a rather moving little paragraph for our next set of questions. I've been listening to ATP since 1983. When Professor O'Neill's son told me about the show, where it seems teachers were having fun.
Fallacy. Wish it still happened. Yeah.
Fallacy.
Yes, I didn't realize that was possible.
It isn't.
Until I started listening. Anyway, I'm finally getting around to sending some questions. It's been a little while.
Since 83?
83. They come from the deep recesses of my brain. As I type this, I can't help but feel grateful that they're there. Eric Alessandri of Dearborn Heights, Michigan, thank you very, very much for sending us those. And I got to say, I almost always start class on the first day of every fall semester with the same story, my favorite comic strip that I've ever seen of all time that fits what you sent in, Eric, where in the left panel, the kids are watching a movie or TV, and there's blood and gore and violence. And the right panel, they see their teacher at the grocery store picking up an orange, and they're freaking out completely, like, ah! Like, I don't believe it. You're a human and you do things. So there you go. We do have fun every once in a while. 3:30 on Fridays. What hockey team did George Plimpton play goalie for in an exhibition game against the Philadelphia Flyers? This experience was the basis for his book, Open Net.
Boston Bruins.
The Bruins, of course, Dave.
Nice.
Very, very nice. So let me just put it out there. I knew about Paper Lion. Did he do it for every sport? Was he like on the 76ers?
I know he did football and hockey. I don't know if he did it. I know he did. He also did trapeze, didn't he? For the
Barnum Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He did trapeze. Talk about that?
I don't know. I remember.
He was a pretty big guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. This is sad. I remember the movie starring George Hamilton more so than anything else.
Right, exactly. Paper Lion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I know he played net for the Bruins. Mm-hmm. Wow.
In early 2014, at least everything's starting to run together. I think Jim would know this too. Will Ferrell, the modern comedian, attempted to play in 10 straight
minor league ball club games,
or whatever.
One day. Film is now out, I think.
Yeah, you should watch the movie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's totally goofy. I mean, he always comes out with like something shoved into his uniform or some fake tush on. It's pretty funny.
Accoutrement.
Yes. The popular expression, the real McCoy, refers to what invention created by Ypsilanti engineer Elijah McCoy?
Our locomotive oiling, automatic oiling machine.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what it is, an automatic lubricator. Mm.
So they didn't have to stop and grease and oil the wheels. It would keep doing while they were going.
Mostly locomotives and ships, so things that ran on steam. That's yep. You need the real McCoy from Ypsilanti. Very, very famous. What famous toy did Frank Lloyd Wright's son John create?
Jack in the Box?
Lincoln Logs.
I like Jack in the Box better.
Lincoln Logs. I'm hearing a lot about this.
With Lincoln Logs.
I can do a sort of a mini big reveal here because I don't know if I've told all you guys this, but it's a pretty big deal.
You're building a new house out of logs?
No.
Oh darn.
You have a collection of Jack in the Boxes?
I do not.
You're opening a Jack in the Box restaurant in Berkeley.
Made of Lincoln Logs. Right. Oh.
No, my wife left her job at the Henry Ford. She got a job at Cranbrook.
Yes.
And she's doing historical registration up there. And they have a lot of connection to the Frank Lloyd Wright houses that are in the Birmingham area. Mm-hmm. The irony is, since she's in charge of historical resources, that these houses were willed to Cranbrook to take care of, to be custodian of, but they're not allowed to touch them or do anything with them in any way.
That was true when he built them,
too. He wouldn't
let you hang a picture
I just think that it's funny. I'm like, this is such an awesome job to have, but I'm just sort of like, my job is to tell you not to touch anything.
I remember touring. Work on preservation.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I remember during Taliesin and West and thinking, you know, this guy was a brilliant, I mean, very thoughtful builder. I'm just really relieved. I don't have to live in anything that he built.
Didn't you have falling waters?
Well,
no, I mean, didn't
oh,
you
now
also...
falling waters might be the exception.
Okay,
but,
okay.
Oh, Taliesin, I mean, originally, the buildings didn't have walls until his second wife forced him to put glass walls in because rattlesnakes were crawling into the bedrooms and so on.
And then some of those other places, didn't he have like microscopic hallways that, you know, like modern day mattresses couldn't fit down?
Right,
unless you're like 4 foot
And
one.
The one over here on Seven Mile Road has a really weird heating system. Yeah.
Have you been inside that? The one on 7 Mile? No.
Not inside. I've been around the outside of it.
That at one point?
I think so. Or something.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't the architecture something they were working at? Or they
the architecture school has taken its students over there.
Yeah,
the two guys that own it have been very, very generous about showing people around.
Well, my wife showed up for her first day of work about a month ago, and she was like, all right, you know, where's my desk and everything? And they're like, you know, find it fast. In 10 minutes, some super famous architect from Finland's showing up, and he wants to see the Frank Lloyd Wright house. And she's like, I've never been in it before. He's like, you're giving the tour.
Whoa.
So it was a very...
So is her office in the art museum? Or?
Actually, it's very interesting because she has no background in art and wasn't hired for that. She's 100% historical resources. There's a number of art pieces that are taken care of by the art registrar. And a number of art pieces that are historical artifacts. Almost all of the works of Marshall Fredericks are historical artifacts for the locals.
And wasn't it Saarinen that designed
Saarinen House is up there. It's beautiful.
It's the most gorgeous thing in the world. So, I will tell you how the dusting goes.
But where's her office?
Her office is a place that I have not been yet.
In a black van, constantly, you know, moving up and down.
So you're not sure where on campus she's.
She's in a storage container.
So you're not sure where she's located on campus.
I'm pretty sure she's off of Long Lake, but that's all that I could tell you.
In a black
right
van.
Now. Yeah, exactly. In a van.
Down by the river.
Down by the river. Before hitting it big, Jimi Hendrix was the guitarist in the backup band for what soulful duo?
Sam and Dave?
Nope. But
Simon and Garfunkel. Nope. Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry.
The Smothers Brothers. So,
what is Hall the opposite Oaks. Of soulful duo? Smothers Brothers.
Ike and Tina Turner.
I'm thinking of one of their hits, which actually is a beautiful song. It reminds me of being a little kid, actually. Summer Breeze makes me feel fine.
Seals and Crofts.
But perhaps re-recorded by
showing your age
a set of brothers.
Everly?
The Doobie Brothers?
Not hitting it, huh?
Righteous Brothers.
Righteous. No.
Jonas?
It was the Isley Brothers that I was thinking of. I've heard them. Who played Anna Schmidt in Carol Reed's The Third Man? Whew. I don't even know if I can help you with this.
Oh, my.
I don't think I'm even familiar with that.
Same last name as Frankie from the Four Seasons?
Valley? Rudy
Valley?
Doesn't that help?
What, Valley Girl? What?
No, that's her last name. Who played Anna Schmidt in Carol Reed's The Third Man?
Doris Valley?
No.
I just made
it. Sarah?
Mountain Valley? No.
Judy Valley.
Alita is what it says here.
I've not seen the movie, so.
Okay. I've never seen The Third Man, actually.
Check that one off our successfully answered
question. We all had that incredulous, you know, Dennis Rodman doing a spelling bee look.
Yeah. Oh, profs, who was the only member of the Mercury 7 who actually walked on the moon?
Neil Armstrong.
It doesn't say that.
No. Was it Gus Grissom?
Nope. Oh, John Mercury Glenn. 7.
Mercury 7. Mercury 7.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Cernan? Oh,
was it Carpenter?
John Glenn?
No.
Initials A.S.
Alan Shepard.
It was Alan Shepard. Oh. Yeah. After J.D. Salinger and Una O'Neill, daughter of playwright Eugene O'Neill, ended their relationship, she moved to California and married a very famous movie star. Who did Una O'Neill marry?
Burt Reynolds.
A little bit before that. A classic black and white silent film star.
Charlie Chaplin.
Mm-hmm. Who names their daughter Una? I feel really, really bad about that. Double O, by the way.
Yes. That's crossword puzzle.
Yeah, there you go. That's a standby right there. From the cartoon, from the comic strip, pardon me, Calvin and Hobbes, what's the name of Calvin's space alter ego?
Spiff.
Spaceman Spiff. Mm. Yes. Yep. Also acceptable for partial credit would have been Captain Napalm, Safari Al, and Stupendous Man. They were not space-based. And I'm afraid we're going to have to save the last couple questions for our next show. It's time to say goodbye, Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Have a good weekend.
Dean Denham.
Goodbye.
And Professor Hill Vasquez.
Gonna go heat up some apple cider and bourbon.
Oh, yes. And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.